Imagine putting in hard work, time, and dedication into saving up for some new shoes. You go to Foot Locker and find the perfect pair. You try them on. You check them out. And you cop them. And even though you spent your last $200 on these shoes, you're happy. Because you feel fresh as fuck, and these J's might actually get you some bitches. But as you're leaving the mall, a gang of motherfuckers wearing shiesties take those J's right off your feet. Leaving you shoeless, broke, depressed, and with absolutely zero bitches. Now, personally, I wouldn't let that slide. However, when I was just a young, wholesome boy in 7th grade, I still wouldn't have let that slide. But I was weak as shit, so it would have slid anyway. I mean, in 7th grade, I could have got my ass beat by Hezbollah, bruh. I was a walking lick, which is exactly why I got a story for y'all today. So as I said, this story takes place in 7th grade, where I was young, innocent, and built like a string bean, bro. So one Friday night, me, Bob, and Billy were going to this girl's house for the three-man mission. The plan was simple. There was three of us and three of them. We would put on a scary movie, and if everything went to plan, we would get some cheeks. Now, just earlier that day, I had copped some fresh ass Jordans, so I've got a little confidence boost as we walk up to this girl's house. So we knock on the door, they open it, and we go inside. Now we stuck to the plan. We put on some cheesy horror movie, and one thing led to another, and by the end of the movie, Bob had all three girls, bro, and me and Billy were in the corner playing Bloons Tower Defense. Don't ask me how this shit happened, I don't want to talk about it. So after hours of me and Billy straight fumbling, we all decide to go home. And although I was a little disappointed in my performance tonight, I put on my brand new uncreased Jordans and I remembered, damn. Even Curry airballs sometimes. Now the bus route back to Bob's crib took two buses. So we hop on the first bus, it takes us to the next stop, and as we're getting off, we see the second bus we need drive right by us. Fuck, is that our bus? Damn, yeah it is. Wait, check when the next one comes. Yeah, it shouldn't be long. Damn, bro, the next bus comes in an hour. So we have no choice but to wait at the bus stop for an hour. So we wait and wait, and at this point, it's already getting late. I check the time, and it's already 11 p.m. As we were sitting there, bored as hell, waiting for this bus to come, one of the other buses stops in front of us to let someone off. The person gets off, and as the bus starts leaving, we hear this loud thud come from the bus. What the hell? What was that? Oh shit, it's a baton. And as we're analyzing this baton that seems to have fallen out of the sky, some motherfucker wearing a shiesty walks up to Billy like, give me that shit, and straight snatched the baton out of Billy's hands. And Billy froze up. Bro was scared shitless, straight bamboozled. And the way the bus stop was set up was there was a main road, the bus stop, and behind the bus stop was a small hill with bushes on top. And when I say this shit looked like something out of a movie, I mean this dude wearing a shiesty walks back up to the top of the hill, and a group of five other dudes walk out from behind the bush, and they're shiestied up too, bro. They had to have been in at least grade 12, and to a 7th grader, that is scary as fuck. And I was no genius, but as that group of shiesties came out of the bushes looking like a GTA 5 cutscene, I came to the consensus that they were up to no good. Yo, those Jordans are looking my size. And this was the moment I realized I was about to get my shit robbed. So I started analyzing my surroundings and calculating my options. Maybe I can talk my way out of this. Hey sir, how was your day today? Shut up. I said, what size are the shoes? Damn, I can't fight them. It's a 3-on-5 and they got the high ground and they got a baton, bro. They would knock my ass out and take the shoes. But I'm fast. So if I take a right, then make a left, there's no way they can catch me. Wait, fuck, I can't run. I'd crease my Jordans. And just as I had ran out of options, Billy says the last words I would expect to come out of this man's mouth. Wait, Ethan? Yo, who the fuck? Oh shit, Billy.
Oh, I didn't know it was you, bro.
Man, Ethan, you had me scared for a second.
Damn,
man.
My bad, pimp. My bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
No, no, you're good. You're good. How's your mom
oh,
doing?
Oh, yeah, she's doing good. Yeah, it's great to see you.
Yeah,
man.
You too, bro. See you around. All
right, peace out.
Y'all, don't worry. I seen a kid over there with some new forces we could snatch.
Oh, yes, sir.
Dibs. I bet.
Man, he's a good dude.
Nah, bro. He just tried to rob me. Who the fuck was that?
Oh, that's my longtime homie, Ethan.
Why do you know him?
Oh, yeah. We went to the same preschool.
Same preschool? That dude looks 20, bruh.
Oh, yeah, no, he is. He just got held back a few times.
Held back in preschool? How the fuck do you get held back in preschool?
Oh, he used to beat up the other kids and then take their toys.
Oh, shit. Makes sense.
So we bust back to Bob's crib, and as we're walking to Bob's front door, I stepped in mud. Bruh.
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like, one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem, like...
Oh, hey, buddy, welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, why haven't you been here, huh?
You know, it was some family stuff.
Oh, yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
What I don't really want to talk about.
What family stuff?
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI.
Like, during the whole pandemic, one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day, he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass.
And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences.
So, when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of,
Mrs. For Real, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson.
Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today, I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped, I was talking to the homie Bob.
Yo, we're going to Chipotle next class. You trying to come?
Man, I don't know. I'm getting real tired of these ass whoopings, bro.
Ass whoopings? You're getting ass whoopings?
Yeah, bro. Mr. Perk never fails to type up an email that results in the leather belt.
Oh, what? Nobody ever told you about the secret method?
Secret method?
Oh, you mean like wearing extra pants so the belt doesn't hit so hard?
No, I'm talking about the secret method so Mr. Perkinson's can't email your mom.
Why didn't you tell me sooner, bro?
So essentially, the method starts at the very beginning of the school year. At my school, they would give you this form with your parents' email, phone number, all the contact information, you know what I'm saying? You would need this form filled out and signed by a parent or guardian and then handed into the office. However, this man, Bob, conceptualized one of the greatest plans of our generation. And it went like this. So you would receive the empty form from the school, take it home to your parent / guardian, get that shit filled out, and get that signature. Then secretly, when nobody is watching, you hop on your computer, you make a fake email, like bobsmom123@gmail.com. Then you would change your mom's contact information into that fake ass email, and then deliver it to the office like nothing happened. So when Mr. Perkinson's smartass tries to get me whooped with one of those emails, I get that shit in my inbox. I read it through and respond with some shit like, Dear Mr. Perkinson's,
Thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I was unaware of my son's absence in pursuing his educational prowess. I will discipline him with a punishment that may or may not involve me whooping the absolute shit out of his tushy. Thank you, Mr. Perkinsons. And I already know this dude, Mr. Perkinsons, was reading that email like, oh, yup, he is definitely getting his ass beat tonight. Meanwhile, I was typing that shit up in bed while munching on some nachos. So you best believe I was abusing this newly found secret strategy. I mean, I was missing every other class. And it was just all sunshine and rainbows. But you know what they say. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I really don't recommend using this strategy. And I'm not saying that to be some mature role model. I say that because there was one flaw in the strategy Bob forgot to tell me. And that was as soon as my mom saw my report card with all those absences. God damn. She made up for every single beating I missed.
Yo, I just got robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. Who's with me, you know? Like, anyone. Yo, anyone. Yo. Yo, is this not relatable?
Bro, ain't no that fucking way.
What the fuck does that even happen?
Not again, bro.
Now, I'm not gonna lie. Japan is one of the safest countries in the entire world. And apparently, there's only 3,065 homeless motherfuckers in the entire country. So, in order to get robbed by a homeless dude in Japan, you either need to be unlucky as fuck or just a complete dumbass. But way back when this story took place, I was a certified dickhead, bro. At the time, I had the critical thinking skills of a newly born chimpanzee mixed with the spatial awareness of a fucking Joe Biden on top of the decision making skills of Joe Biden's son. So with that being said, this story takes place way, 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 way back a few weeks ago when me, Bob, and Billy hopped on a flight to Tokyo. And as soon as we arrived in the city, we started absorbing all that food, bro. Sushi, ramen, fucking cow testicles, you name it, we ate it. And after an entire week of decimating every last crumb of food in Tokyo, we thought, well, that was fun. I guess it's time to go home. Yeah, I guess so. And as we're ready to pack it up, we overhear a few people talking.
Oh, hey, konnichiwa. We come from the United States of America. How do we go to Osaka?
Yeah, man, Osaka has some of the best food in Japan. Just take this train right here and you're there.
Wow, you're English. Very good.
I'm from Washington, dipshit.
Oh, I see. Washington, dipshit. Is that Chinese or...
Holy shit, did you hear that?
Yeah, no, that guy's fucking clueless.
No, I'm talking about Osaka. Apparently the food's even better over there.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but, don't you think we had enough food already?
I mean, shit. We are in Japan.
Fuck it, bro. Let's go.
So we hopped on the train and got off in Osaka. And like the certified fat asses me and the boys are, we were looking around for some food. And the moment we seen all-you-can-eat Wagyu beef for just 30 bones, we all knew what had to happen. We walked in that bitch and wasted no time. We were running through that meat like Tiana Trump in her prime. Because sometimes we were burning the meat, sometimes we were taking it raw, but at the end of the day, the meat filled us up and made us happy. So we thanked the owner, left the shop, and headed back to our hotel. And man, I was full as hell for like an hour, and then I was like, yo, who's trying to get some more food?
The fuck? Bro, we just ate a whole goddamn cow.
Yeah, we did.
Like, we probably just canceled out the life work of 5 vegans in one sitting.
Tight shit.
And it's already like 8 p.m., bro. It's dark as hell.
Well, I'ma go out anyways. You know why?
Why?
Cause we in Japan.
Man, get your fat ass out this goddamn hotel.
So I got my fat ass out the goddamn hotel and started walking around. And all I took with me was my phone, the key to the hotel, about $100 worth of yen, and a smile on my face, knowing I had never in my life been robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. But little did I know, all that was about to change on this wild ass Friday night. Now, if there's one thing I learned about Japan, it's that everyone there is very kind, extremely polite, and a raging alcoholic. I'm talking they clock out of work at 6 p.m. and they clock into the bar at 6:02, and they don't leave until...
I mean, shit, they don't leave until it's time to go back to work, bruh. Cause the Japanese people work hard, but their liver works harder. But regardless, I'm casually walking through the city when I hear someone yell from across the street.
Yo.
So naturally, I'm like, yo. And they're like,
come here.
And I'm like, shit, okay. So I walk across the street and see three individuals posted outside this little bar shop thing like,
yo, I'm Yuto. This is Emi. This is twin sister Shigo.
Hey, it's my first day working here. Come inside. Shit, I don't know. I'm just trying to get some food somewhere tonight in Osaka. I don't know if it's like...
You want Osaka fucking night food?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I want Osaka fucking night food.
Read the sign.
Osaka fucking night food. Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. Shit,
You know what? Come get shots. I pay.
Shit, we in Japan. So they take me inside and everyone there is just happy as fuck. They got Rihanna playing on the speakers, dudes bringing out shots, and the chef was turning up so hard, dude started twerking, and damn, that boy was cooking.
Bro, what?
Shit, I mean, like, he was cooking with the food, like, man, fuck! But the vibes were just so good and inviting that I felt like I just got welcomed into this Japanese family. And so we all cheers and take the shots. And now I'm drinking. And I'm drinking with only one goal in mind. And that's to keep up with my newly found Japanese family. And so to prepare my stomach, I get me some Osaka fucking night food. And it was scrumptious. But as I'm slurping up this kebab, I see Emmy come back with three more shots. And she's like, you want one? Shit. We in Japan. So we take the shots and I'm talking to Emmy and one way or another we start talking about our alcohol tolerance. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it takes a lot for me to get drunk.
Not as much as me.
Whoa, is that a bet?
Yeah, it is. Bitch.
So we're drinking everything in sight. Vodka, soju, sake, tequila. It's a competition. Now, I made the bet in the first place because I'm twice her size. But one thing I forgot to account for was the fact her entire lineage had been training generations for this very moment. So she's taking these shots to the face like... Well, shit, like Tiana Trump in her prime, and I'm going shot for shot with her. And after taking about 8 shots, I was feeling it, bruh.
Yo, let's go play darts.
I mean, I never really played darts in my life, but shit, we in Japan. So we pull up to a darts bar, just me, Emmy, and Yuto. And I had never played darts a day in my life, but you ever just try some shit and you're just inherently good at it? Yeah, right? Yeah, that shit was not me, bro. I was dog shit. I was out there looking like I was drunk as hell. I was drunk as hell. Cause in order to play, each person had to buy a soju. So now I'm about 12 shots deep, throwing darts, trying to hit a circle the size of a pea while this little Japanese girl's pushing me and shit. Cause to her, this was a game. To me, this was survival. Cause every time you lose, you gotta take a shot. And if I keep taking shots like this, these shots about to start taking me, bruh. And sure as hell, I lost the first game. I took my shot and Emmy's like, how drunk are you right now? And I can't let her know I'm losing in this bet. So I'm in that bitch like, drunk? Nah. Shit, where I'm from, we brush our teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Okay. Then loser takes 2 shots.
Yeah, let's do it. So one thing leads to another, and now I'm 16 shots deep, and Emmy's like,
I'm gonna go to the washroom. I'll be right back.
And then Yuto's like,
yo, Chains, we must talk.
Oh, shit, yeah, what's up? Now, Yuto had a strong accent and very limited English, so it really went some like,
Emmy, bomber.
Huh?
Emmy, have bomber.
Yo, Yuto, no, I don't speak Japanese, dog.
No, Emmy, use bomber. Swipe left, swipe right, bomber.
Oh, shit, Emmy uses bumble. Okay.
Yes. And she texts the bumble guy, come here.
Oh, hell nah, bruh. I'ma have to abort mission.
Me too.
You too?
Hi, Emmy to you, daddy. Fuck Emmy.
Oh, shit, facts, let's do it. So we sneak away to the elevator, and we're spamming the up button trying to leave, and this shit is just not coming, bruh. So we both peek around the corner to see if she's coming, and she notices us.
Oh, shit, guys, we're leaving?
Yeah, we are leaving. Fuck. So we all get in the elevator, and Yuto whispers in my ear, like,
when the elevator open, we run.
And I'm drunk as shit, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school. So as soon as the doors open, we hauled ass, bro. And I just kept running till Yuto was like,
stop, we go to bar.
And I'm just having a great time existing at this point. So I walk into this bar all drunk like,
where the hoes at?
Oh shit. Where the bros at?
Yeah.
Yuto took me to a gay bar, bruh. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with a gay bar, but it was the fact that after drinking 16 shots, I just sprinted full speed away from a cute Japanese girl to run straight into a room filled with a bunch of sweaty gay dudes. And these motherfuckers were looking at me like I'm some fresh meat or some shit. And it really just had me questioning my entire life. I was in that bitch confused, frustrated, drunk as hell, ready to crash out. I was gonna leave that bar looking like... Like a
fruit explosion!
No, Sebastian, what the wrong video? What the fuck?
Oh, hey, is that Diddy?
So you're trying to see a fruit explosion, huh?
No! So I left the gay bar, called up Emmy, we link back up, and the first thing she says to me is,
fuck you!
Fuck me?
What?
Nah, fuck you!
Why'd you run from me?
Bruh, you were inviting Bumble dudes and shit.
What? No, what are you even talking about?
I mean, Yuto said, like, you know what? Don't even worry about it.
Okay. Well, let's go to the club.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. So we're at the club doing club shit. And after an hour or so, she's like,
let's take some shots.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. I am blackout drunk, bruh. I don't even know how many shots deep I am at this point, but all I know is I'm so drunk, I gained the ability to fucking teleport. So I'm in the club, and as soon as I blink, I'm in a bar. Then I'm in a club, back to a bar, to a new club, McDonald's, bar, karaoke, club, bar, love hotel.
Love hotel? Man, what the fuck?
You said you wanted to sleep.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, nah, I probably said some shit like that. I don't fucking know.
So we walk into our room, and the very first thing I notice, the hub on the TV, vibration devices on the bed, protection everywhere. Shorty just lured me to the Japanese freak chamber, bruh. I blink, and we teleport to the bed. But we were just talking like,
yo. Yuto said you were inviting dudes from Bumble.
Oh my god, okay, Yuto's a liar. Listen, I gotta tell you something, but you can't tell anyone.
Yeah, nah, I won't tell a soul, you know? I will not post this on YouTube, clip it up, post it on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Reels, or anything like that, you know? Like, yeah, that'd be weird.
okay, so Yuto's homeless.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, he just goes to the gay bar and then goes back to a dude's house and sleeps there.
Damn. Oh, man, I didn't even know.
And then he steals their money.
Wait, he what?
Yeah, he just steals their money.
Wait, but it's just the gay dudes, right?
Yeah, it's mostly just the gay dudes.
I check my pockets, the money's gone.
Fuck.
You said it's only the gay dudes.
Yeah, nah, he just steals from the gay dudes.
Fuck, I wanna go home, bruh.
So I leave the love hotel, and at this point, the sun is coming up, and I'm still drunk as hell, walking like a zombie. I pull out my phone to go use Google Maps,
and that shit dies, bro.
So now it's just me and my last few brain cells trying to make it to my hotel before I pass out. And I'm stepping over Japanese motherfuckers, blackout drunk, sleeping on the sidewalks, thinking I can't end up like them. But honestly, I have no clue where I am, no clue where the hotel is, and no clue what time it is. And after what felt like hours of aimlessly walking around, I blinked and I fell asleep, bruh. And when I woke up, I was in my bed. I genuinely don't know how, who, what, when, or why, but shit, I wasn't complaining. But by the time I got out of bed, it was 6 p.m. and I didn't remember shit. I had to go through my camera roll and piece everything together like The Hangover. But at least that Friday night, I learned a very valuable lesson. Don't try to outdrink the Japanese motherfuckers, bro. You'll lose every time.
Listen, most of us have been high before, and most of us have also been drunk before. But it truly takes one determined, perseverant, curious, and brave dumbass to be high and drunk at the same time. Which perfectly describes your boy. Way, way, way back in grade 7. See, this story is crazy because I had never been high or drunk before this incident. And all at once, I turned from just a young, innocent boy into the low IQ human I am today. So, it was grade 7 and my school had just got out for spring break. The boys and I had already planned out a little get-together for one of our friends' birthdays. So after school, me and the boys link up. We go and clean up our friend Billy's house, cause you can't throw a birthday function in a dirty house. And it was dirty, bro. So by the time we were done cleaning, it was already about 7:30. So that meant everyone started to show up. So the boys and I started doing your average middle school activities. By that, I mean we're wrestling, we're breaking stuff. And the girls were just posted on the couch. Cause, what are we supposed to do? Talk to them? Hell nah. But eventually we got tired of throwing each other around. So we're all sweaty and shit and we sit down on the couch. Leaving at least 1.5 meters between us and the girls, of course. And we just sat there. But then out of nowhere, Billy's like, I got a brownie. And I'm over here thinking, the fuck? The hoes don't care about your brownie, bruh. But then Billy started to elaborate. Guys, this is no ordinary brownie. I stole it from my uncle's do not eat cabinet. And he says they're magical. Oh, he probably means they're magically tasty. I need a bite of that. Does anyone want a piece?
Yeah, I'll try one.
Yeah, sure, I want some.
I mean, I am kind of hungry.
Yes, please.
So everyone has their piece and they're kind of building up the suspense. Like, are you guys ready?
Are you sure we should do this?
And I'm still clueless. I'm over here thinking, it's a brownie. What's the big deal? The fuck? This brownie isn't magical. This shit tastes like ass. Oh, Chains, how do you feel? I feel like I just ate some dog shit, bruh. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Your uncle needs a new baker for real.
No, Chains, it's not about the taste. They're grass-infused brownies. They're supposed to get you high.
Man, what? I feel like this is the kind of thing you're supposed to say before I downed it. So everyone eats their piece of brownie and then continues to sit in awkward silence for like the next 2 hours. But then the brownie starts to hit. People are dropping like flies. And eventually everyone felt it except me. And they're just doing high stuff like eating all the food in the kitchen, watching Netflix documentaries. But for me, the brownie still hasn't hit. And Billy notices that I'm sober and he's like, wait here. Bro goes into his mom's liquor cupboard and pours out unholy amounts of vodka and just hands me the cup. Keep in mind, I had never drank before, so I have no clue whether or not this is a lot. So I literally chugged the whole thing. Looking back, it had to have been at least 5 shots all at once. But man, I had no clue. So I'm just sitting there chilling on the couch, waiting for something magical to happen. And I start to think, maybe I'm just invincible. Like nothing can affect me. It all hit at once. The brownie and the vodka was out here running combos on me like John Cena and Randy Orton. And bro, something in that brownie changed my settings and enabled third person perspective. It was the weirdest feeling. It was like I was watching myself on a movie, but like I was in the movie. Bro, I don't know. And apparently it also gave me the ability to teleport. Because I swear, when I blinked, I teleported from Billy's crib to the front of a McDonald's line. And listen, I have no clue what happened in between that time, but I had no business being in a public setting right now. Hi, what can I get for you? Sir, can I help you? Yeah. What can I get for you? Listen, because I was high, drunk, and apparently had no social capabilities, I was spitting some nonsense to this poor McDonald's employee. Yeah, do y'all got the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Sir, this is McDonald's. Yeah, yeah, and let me get that Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Dairy Queen, what?
And, what kind of nachos do you guys have? I blinked again, and we were all back at Billy's house. The very last thing I remember from that night is there was absolutely no blankets. So I was out here using literally anything I could find for a little bit of warmth. But eventually, after a long night, I passed out. Bad haircuts. There is nothing worse than when your barber just randomly decides to destroy your self-confidence with some goofy-ass haircut. And as someone who has never found a barber who consistently does me nicely, I have gotten my shit all the way fucked up on many occasions. I'm talking not going to school, locking myself in my room so nobody can see me with this disgraceful cut type of fucked up. And these barbers are out here having the audacity to ask, do you like it?
Man, do I like it? Yeah, bro. I love it, bro. Thank you so much.
Man, I'd just be wiping the tears away and then tipping them nicely. Knowing damn well I should be out here throwing hands, because this dude is the reason I can't get any bitches. So I've tried lots of different barbers in my time, starting with the ones my mom used to take me to. I mean, this early, I never really even had a say on what I wanted my hair to look like.
So, what are you looking for today?
You know, just a little bit off the top, please.
Shave it.
Wait, what?
Shave it.
Your new haircut looks so good, buddy.
Thanks.
Hey man, you know your haircut is ass when your mom says she likes it. As a kid, I always dreaded getting haircuts because I knew my barber was already like 0 for 10. And I would show up to school every time knowing it was inevitable that I was about to get my shit flamed. And truthfully, there is no worse roasting than when you get a bad haircut. Like, people you barely even know will be out here cooking you.
Who the fuck is this?
All of a sudden, people got more jokes than Chris Rock. And it's even worse when you decide, I should get a fresh cut because school's starting back up and I'm trying to look fresh. Bro, I can't go to school like this. Yo, Chains, what's up? Yo, what's good? Bro, are you alright? Why do you got this hoodie on? Yeah, I'm chilling. I'm just kind of cold, you know? Bro, it's 32 degrees. And man, there was this one time that I still think about every time I fall asleep. Me and my friend go to this barbershop that I'd been to once before. And last time, they did me quite nicely. So we head in, I sit down in the chair. Hey, how you doing? I'm good, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. Have you been here before? Yeah, I have actually. Oh, I remember you. Same cut as last time? Yeah, exactly. So what's new, man? Nothing much really. What about you? You know, I've just been working. Oh yeah, respect. So, how's your dad doing? This is when I knew something was terribly wrong.
Bro, I don't got a dad.
Fuck!
You know, he's good.
This motherfucker was giving me some random kid's haircut. This dude must have thought I was Manny or some shit. Cause he gave me that middle part cut. And he pushed my hairline back a little bit. And everyone in my city knew this barber. So everyone at my school followed his Instagram too. Can I get a picture from my Instagram? Nah, bro. I don't really like being posted. Don't worry. It's quick. Nah, I don't really want to. This dude caught me lacking so bad and broadcasted it to everyone in my city. Fuck, bro. I should throw hands with him right now. I gotta get it back in blood. So, do you like the cut?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And when I checked my Instagram, I was out here getting flamed so hard. Borderline cyberbullying. And I'm not joking when I say this. This motherfucker fucked me up so bad. I learned how to cut my own hair and never went back to a barber ever again.
If you saw this video, you would know my very first time drinking, I got both high and drunk at the same time. But my first time being drunk takes place back when I was like 14 or 15. And this story takes place at my grandma's crib. No, listen, I know that sounds bad, but like, I mean, it's pretty bad. So the story starts with me and my brother pulling up to the family function. And right off the bat, we notice the chill cousins are nowhere to be seen. So instantly, we can tell it's gonna be a long night of engaging in conversations about school, sports, my lack of ability to pull bitches. And about 5 minutes after arriving, you know, I'm just doing some good old small talk. Oh, hey bud, how's school going? Oh, you know, it's going.
And how's sports going?
Yeah, the sports are good.
Nice.
So the weather lately, huh? And then after about 20 minutes, me and my brother are just getting our shit flamed by every member of the family.
No wonder you can't get a girlfriend. You're ugly as shit.
Damn, that was just mean.
And don't get me started on you. You had a 3-year head start and still can't get any bitches.
And honestly, we just can't say anything back because last time I tried.
Man, still no girlfriend. That's brutal.
Not as brutal as your third divorce, am I right? Okay, guys. So instead of flaming the living shit out of this grown man in front of his mom, I decide to be the bigger man. I just laughed that shit off. And then got the fuck out of there before they brought up my school grades. So as my brother and I sit down in a different room, I'm just in agony thinking about how everything this dude flamed me for was actually true. But my brother, on the other hand, he was whipping up some devious plan. Yo, Chains, follow me.
Oh, okay.
So we walk down to the basement. So what are we doing in the basement? He opens a cupboard full of alcohol. Bro just cracks the seal on some vodka and starts downing that shit. Now, usually I would know this is a bad idea, but to be honest, I just got done getting my entire existence shit on by my own family. So I'm really just trying to drink my pain away at this point. I mean, we were passing that bottle drinking like rent was due and the wife was taking the kids. So with that being said, we got a little hammered. And keep in mind, this was my first time being drunk. So as soon as I stood up, I ate shit. It was like I had to relearn the controls of life. But we had to get out of the basement or else we'd look suspicious. So our drunk asses plug walked our way up the stairs. But we were trying to act as casual as possible. So we sit back down with the rest of the family like we didn't just down a bottle of vodka. And me and my bro were just sitting there looking at each other trying not to laugh. But the next thing I knew, this dude Uncle Jerry was back on my ass.
Hey look, Dumb and Dumber are back.
And at this point, I'm using every bone in my body not to end this man's whole career.
Man, whose gene is it that made you so damn hideous?
Don't do it, bro. Don't do it, bro. And I really didn't want to do him like that, but the vodka took control. It was your hideous gene, Gerald. But at least I didn't get the same gene that has you 5'2 and balding. Like, I can't tell if you're going through puberty or a midlife crisis. And shit, I didn't stop there. And Joe, I want to hear you talking. You're built like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
What the fuck is Big Hero 6?
Mom, I love you. Karen, sit down. Your mac and cheese tastes like ass. And Bob, you're literally a registered sex offender. Grandma, I love you. Bernard, your hairline looks like it's social distancing from your eyebrows. And Irene, how are you 47 and still work at McDonald's? And you got no drip. Come on, bro. Friendly fire. Oh, shit. You're right. My bad. Needless to say, I was handing out smoke to everybody. Something in that vodka turned me to a demon. And I guess since everyone was mad at me for dissing the entire family, they never knew I was drunk as hell. But in the end, I did feel really bad for roasting my entire family tree. But ever since that day, everybody stopped flaming me. So, it was worth it.
Alright class, today we're going outside for a run.
But it's literally 0 degrees.
Oh Chains, don't be a bitch. It's not even that cold. See? I told you guys it's not even that cold.
Yeah, for you. Cause you're out here dressed like the Michelin Man. High school PE is something different. And every PE class has 5 different types of people. Like the group of kids who just stand in the corner and occasionally get sniped in the head with a dodgeball. Or the kids who participate and make sure everyone is included. Or the legend who's chilling on Instagram. he follows at Chains for real. There's also the dude who just never shows up. And of course, we got the sweats. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're in the military. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're training for the Olympics. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're gonna get scouted to the league. Which is honestly just funny as hell because, let's be honest, 85.7% of the class doesn't even want to be there. So you'll have some innocent soul zoning out during a basketball game, and all of a sudden they'll be getting posterized like they're playing against Ja Morant.
Yeah, bitch!
I mean, these kids will come out of PE drenched in sweat, breathing heavy, and with a smile on their face, knowing they dropped 104 points on some kids who have never touched a basketball in their life. And listen, don't hate me, but I do understand the appeal of sweating your balls off in PE. Because I too once participated in the sweaty activities.
Ow.
I know, but there's just something so exhilarating about hearing the snapping of an unsuspecting freshman's ankles. But as I matured, I realized there was only one thing better than shitting on random students. And that was shitting on sweats. I became the anti-sweat. I would act like an innocent soul waiting to get posterized, but when the sweat would come in trying to end my career with a windmill dunk, I stuffed that boy like a Thanksgiving turkey. Pause. And don't get me started on the
fitness grand pacer.
whoever created this legal form of torture will catch these hands. Oh, Chains, no, I heard he sadly passed away a little while ago. You could be having a good day and you pull up to PE like,
hey bro, you know what we're doing today?
I'm not sure, but I think we're playing soccer.
The fitness group.
No, it can't be.
Alright class, today we will be doing the beep test.
Fuck.
Woo.
Damn, what was I at?
Chains, we haven't even started. That was just our warm up.
But one thing that did bring me a little bit of joy was looking at everyone during the push-up section. Like, there was always some dude doing the neck push-ups, some dude who thinks he's Mike Tyson, the guy who takes breaks when the teacher isn't watching, and there was always at least one dude who was out here looking like he was hitting it raw. James, I don't think that's how you do it. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, bitch!
Listen, I am no criminal. In fact, I would consider myself a good Samaritan. Type of dude who helps grandmas cross the street. Type of dude who might even pick up some trash now and then. And absolutely not the type of dude to go to jail. Now, I know for a fact I would never go to jail. Not because I never break the law, but because I'm fast as fuck. In the streets, they used to call me Usain Jr., bro. So there was no way you would catch me getting arrested by some 50-year-old man with a beer belly and a donut in his hand. I would be out here crossing bro up, hit him with a little body feint, leave him in the ER, bro. But with that being said, I needed that speed. I needed that speed to get out of all the dumbass situations I put myself in. Cause I'm still no valedictorian, but back in grade 9, I was nominated stupidest dumbass, and all the runner-ups were my homies. So evidently we had some stupid ass ideas. Like I remember this one time we were all looking for something to do, and if you're from a small boring city like mine, you would know there's not many fun things to do besides smoke and break the law. So what did we do? We smoked? And then we broke the law. This story takes place at Billy's crib. So it's just me, Billy, and Bob. We're chilling playing PlayStation or whatever. And Billy's like, damn, I'm bored as hell. We should go do something. Yeah, facts. What's something fun we could do? Shit, we could have some girls over. We got no hoes, bruh. Holeless. Shit, I forgot about that. I mean, we could get some food. You got money? You're broke, bitch. Damn, you're right. Wait, we could smoke. You got grass? Yeah, I do actually. Oh shit, bet. So we all go outside, roll up the grass, and get baked. Then we go back inside and hop back on the PlayStation. Damn, I'm low-key still bored. Yeah, let's have some girls.
You still have no hoes, bro.
Fuck. I mean, we could have a bonfire. Oh shit, that's not a bad idea.
Genius.
So you think this is a good place? Nah, it's too out in the open.
What about here?
Nah, it's too close to the school. What about here? Oh shit, this is kinda nice. So we were looking around, we gathered up the best sticks to build the fire, and we set them up quite nicely. We lathered those bad boys in some gasoline, and apparently my high ass didn't know how fire and gas worked. So I leaned over the fire, and when I go to light it, for a second my life flashed before my eyes. So I quickly jumped back, but my friends and I are baked to perfection. So they're like, yo, dude, are you good? Yeah, man, I think so. Are my eyebrows still there? You never had eyebrows. Oh, okay. So we're all just staring at the fire in silence, thinking about random things. Damn, I need me a 4-piece Popeyes combo right now. The meaning of life, it must be to evolve and become the best person you can be. God damn. Bob's mom is so hot. And as we're just chilling, watching the fire, it was pretty much sending out a smoke signal, and anyone in the vicinity probably saw it. And soon we started hearing a siren in the distance. Guys, it's definitely just an ambulance. I mean, it's getting kind of loud, don't you think? No, we're chilling. Fuck, bro, I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm way too high for this right now. So Billy and Bob just leave, and I'm thinking, they're just being some scaredy cats. They're gonna come back. It's literally just an ambulance. Right? Man, it's getting kinda close. Oh shit, they're definitely coming for me. And then the siren just stops. Oh, I guess they're not coming for me. And then I look behind me, and I make direct eye contact with two officers. My heart literally stopped. Oh, you're fucked. Hey, I grabbed the gas and the gas, and with all the adrenaline I had, I literally jumped on the fire, stomped it out, and hauled ass. Hey, get back here. I'm being chased by these two cops, and I am red-handed as fuck. I mean, I'm holding a liter of gasoline, a lighter, and the kush while I'm baked as hell running from these cops. And they were on my ass, bro, because let's be real, I could have outrun these fat asses any day of the week, but I'm at a major disadvantage here. Like, I have to run carrying the can of gas while I'm zooted, bro. So sheer speed was not gonna do it, but I had to get them off my tail, or else I was going to jail. So I take a sharp right, and then I'm faced with these two paths. I hit a quick left, and as soon as I get out of their sight, I slide into these bushes smooth as butter. And I was scared shitless. Man, I can't go to jail. I dropped the soap way too much for all that. Holy shit, they're right there. Where'd he go? We almost had him. And we would have had him too if your fat ass didn't eat so many damn donuts. Shut up, Robert. That's why Dave fucked your wife. As soon as it was clear, I booked it straight to Billy's house. Oh, guys, it wasn't an ambulance. No shit. And I think it's safe to say I was paranoid for the rest of the night. Yo, I really appreciate you guys, so I'm gonna be following back a bunch of people on my Instagram, so go check it out. Peace.
I'm not gonna lie, I think everybody wants to be cool. Like, being cool is just like it's just cool, bro. Like, there's nothing like it. And I know some of y'all are thinking, Chains, with all due respect, bro, how do you know what it's like to be cool? And my answer to that is just look at me, bro. I fucking don't, okay? But I do know someone who is cool. He's a certified cool guy, and his name is Bob. Now, what makes Bob so cool? Is it the sunglasses? Is it the sexy ass face? No. Tell him the answer, Bob. He doesn't talk. The answer is Bob doesn't talk, and a crucial role in being cool is the element of mystery. Now, it's interesting, because if we take a look at Jake over here, Jake doesn't talk either, and, I mean, me personally, you know, I don't really think Jake's that cool. So that means to be cool, you can't just stop talking. I mean, I remember one time I thought if I threw in some earbuds and stopped talking to motherfuckers, everyone would see me as some cool, mysterious guy in the shadows. And I'm not even gonna lie, I was walking through the halls feeling like Batman. I could even see the people talking about how cool I was. Come to find out, it was more like, does this kid even talk?
Nah, I don't think so.
Yo, what's up with this kid?
I'm pretty sure he's autistic or something.
Cause the truth is, there's a very distinct difference between Bob's silence and Jake's silence. I mean, Jake didn't talk cause he would probably get his ass beat for literally anything that comes out of his mouth. But Bob, on the other hand, doesn't talk cause he doesn't have to talk. Like, watch this. Oh my god, Bob!
I love you, Bob!
Now, just for science reasons, let's just see what happens when I do the same thing, you know? Why not? What's the worst that could happen? Hello? Can I help you?
Oh my god, help. There's this creepy
guy. Damn. At least she didn't.
Get on the ground! Hands behind your back, buddy!
Now, it's important to note that being cool is subjective. Like, for example, some people think I'm cool, you know? Like, in this big-ass world, surely there's someone out there.
No, there isn't. Nobody thinks you're cool.
Okay, well, what I was trying to say is you're gonna find someone cool who I don't find cool, and I'm gonna find someone cool who you don't find cool, and that just leaves us with the question, what is cool? So to answer this question, I need you to think of the coolest dude on the earth, and I'm about to guess, okay? You got it? Yeah, alright. I'm not the fucking Akinator. I'm not about to guess who you're thinking of, but I can guess with 100% accuracy who you're not thinking of, and that's Mark Zuckerberg, okay? How did I know that? Because if you think of Mark Zuckerberg as the coolest guy in the world, you're fucked, alright? Like, there's no helping you. Like, click off the video. It's wraps for you, bro. But how could Mark Zuckerberg possibly help us get cooler? I mean, look at the guy. He's practically oozing uncoolness as we speak. But that's important because if being cool is subjective, we need something objective to look at. And objectively, Zuckerberg gets no bitches. Like, let's just look at the numbers here. I mean, this guy's the CEO of Meta, but he's also the CEO of being a uncool lizard
nerd guy. And if there's one thing I've learned in my studies of coolness, it's the art of minding your own goddamn business, okay? Like, let's compare George to Bob, who let's just say both aced the math test. Hey, Chains, what'd you get on the test?
Fuck, I got like a 65%.
Oh, that's really good for you. That's good for you. Yeah, I actually got 100% plus the bonus question.
Oh, wow. Nice, bro.
Billy, what'd you get on the math test?
Math test? The dog, I could have swore that shit was chemistry.
Nope, it was math. And I got 103%. Bob, what'd you get?
Whoa,
110? There was only one bonus question. That's impossible.
Oh, kissy face. Bob, did you pipe the teacher?
And that's probably why Zuck over here is so uncool. He's minding a million people's businesses, probably looking through their cameras and shit like... Yeah, fuck you, Mark. And the most important trait for being cool is having confidence. You just can't be cool while shivering your timbers, bro. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, well, I guess it's over for me then. And no, it's not over for you, bro, because confidence is the most fake it till you make it shit ever. Like, you're not gonna say the perfect thing every time. Lord knows I don't. I'm pretty sure I say the wrong thing every time. But if you say that shit with your chest, people let it slide, bro.
And I said, no, I wouldn't suck your dick for $20.
Oh, well, that makes one of us.
Well, that makes one of us.
Okay.
I love this guy.
Now, that's the type of confidence that's gonna take you from a level 1 crook to a level 100 mafia boss. And with that power comes responsibility. Some dudes will become a level 100 mafia boss and start picking on other people because it makes them feel powerful. But a cool guy doesn't yearn for power. He yearns for... fuck, what do you yearn for, bruh? Damn, he's so cool. Now, being cool comes along with being calm and collected. Like, if someone walked up to you trying to fight and you started running away screaming for your life, I don't think anyone's looking at you like,
damn, that's one cool-ass motherfucker,
bro. Yeah, bro, the way he hit that high note was cool as hell. Shit, maybe I could be like him someday. Now, I'm not saying you gotta go all Jackie Chan on the guy, but you do gotta stay calm and think logically. Like, let's see how cool you are. What would you do in this situation? A, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. B, just walk away. C, give him a little kiss on the forehead. Or D, do the stanky leg. And the correct answer is any of the above, bro, because it's not about what you do, it's about how cool you do it. Except maybe the stanky leg one. I don't think anybody can look cool doing the stanky leg. But doing any of the other options, you could look cool as hell. Like, A, strike first, strike hard. Boom, one punch knockout, that's cold. But if you throw first, miss, eat shit, not cool. B, walking away, you're cool as hell, unfazed. Unless you get jumped from behind and get your ass beat, not cool. C, give him a little kiss on the forehead, assert your dominance, you pretty much just made him your son. But if you miss... Well, now you're just kissing a dude, so... yeah. Now, even though being cool is all about how you do things, there's a few things that nobody can look cool doing, like riding a scooter, chasing a bus, taking pictures with an iPad, chasing paper in the wind, using VR, washing a cucumber, waving. You look nerdy as fuck. Eating a cupcake, tripping, getting out of a restaurant booth, pickleball, and literally anything to do with Starbucks. Hi, can I get a caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino with 2 extra pumps of vanilla and the
You're soy? You're not cool, bro.
What? Now let's take it back to the element of mystery for a second, cause this is the step that will either have people seeing you as a cool ass dude, or they'll just assume you're shy, or possibly on the spectrum, bro. Listen, you gotta talk, bro, or else people have nothing to go off of and they'll start filling in the blanks themselves. Whoa, wait, so I gotta talk to be cool? Yo, Chains, what do I say? Whatever the fuck you want, bro.
No, wait, really?
Yeah, bro, the truth is, the key to being cool is being yourself. And I know that shit sounds corny, and it is, but do you think the coolest dudes on earth give a single fuck about what you think? Hell nah! They're way too busy being cool, bruh! You gotta be like a peach, man. Some people hate peaches, some people love peaches, but at the end of the day, the peach is gonna be a peach. So here, take these sunglasses, and if you haven't heard it today, you're a cool ass dude, bro. How
Elmo, can I get a green apple and bubble gum, please?
Of course. That'll be 25 cents.
Oh, gee, what a deal. Life sure is good, huh?
Oh, it sure is.
Hey, yo, Unc, pass me that green apple and bubble gum, gang.
Oh, wow. I remember when I was your age,
Didn't ask plus ratio, all right? Just give me the vape juice, bro.
Vape juice? I thought we were talking about real green apple and bubble gum.
Of fucking course, dude. These fucking old heads nowadays, right, guys? just give me the vape juice, please.
All right, well, in that case, I need to see some ID.
Yeah, I got you, Unc.
Your ID says you just turned 11 years old.
Type shit.
No, you gotta be at least 21 to buy vape juice.
Oh, shit, yeah, no, I guess it's a robbery then.
Wait, what? Aw, shit.
Listen, the times are changing, bro. Not too long ago, kids were just playing outside, playing sports, and climbing trees and shit. But nowadays, I swear these kids are just grinding TikTok, playing GTA, in real life, and the only thing they're climbing is the spectrum, and I blame the internet, bro. Cause now, these kids are coming straight out the womb watching Skibbity Toilet Brain Rot, and if that was my kid, shit, I would wanna restart, bro. Like, take two from the top, bro. And honestly, I feel like most of these kids were coming along just fine, you know? Like, they were developing into some cool dudes. They had a banger theme song and shit. Like, yeah, I was low-key fucking with this new generation. And then... the birth of brain rot. Millions of people scrolling TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, and even... It was great. I mean, we had all the free time in the world to fill up our brains with dog shit, and it didn't even matter until we had to talk to each other again. Like,
oh shit. Hey. Oh hi. Oh, hold. What's up? What? Hi.
Oh, what's popping?
Brand new whip just hopped.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
I got options. What about Roxanne?
Roxanne. Like, shit, even now in 2024, I feel like half the motherfuckers my age still haven't mentally recovered. Like, ever since the great brain rotting, I've unfortunately witnessed some of my closest homies get NPC-ified, and there's really no bringing them back.
Yo, bro, you've been watching a lot of TikTok recently, huh?
Oh yeah, nah. I mean, this shit's fire, bro. Just look at this one. Fuck that, we can go riz for riz.
Yeah, no. No, bro, you have a problem. Like dead ass. Like, you gotta put the TikTok down, bro. Like really lock in up here, bro.
Nah, bro really just phantom taxed my phone. And minus 100 aura for throwing it and shit. Like, that would have been El Riz if I wasn't sick. But remember what Duke Dennis said? Ohio, Riz Skibbity Toilet, phantom tax, did Gronk hug Kobe Dunn?
And so if some of my homies' brains are still trying to recover, I can only imagine the permanent effects on these kids, bro. Like, I feel like it's entirely possible that these kids' brains will be stuck in 2024 and they'll be old as hell talking about...
Hey, can you help me cross the road?
Oh yeah, for sure.
W-Riz! No, my aura!
Now, unlike half these YouTubers out here, I don't spend a lot of time talking to kids. But the one kid I did talk to recently was actually my cousin.
Hey! You're not alone on that one.
No! So I was at this extended family function, and there was a bunch of people I'd never seen in my life, including this one kid who had to be about 10 years old. He was a short little guy, still waiting on puberty and shit, but when I talked to him, it was like talking to a little Kai Cenat or some shit. If he was 10 years younger and like, about the same height.
Yo, broski!
The fuck?
Hey, down here!
Oh, shit, what's up? My name's Elijah.
Okay, Elijah. How's school, bro?
Shit, it's high.
Yo, what grade are you in, bro?
Grade 5. Type shit.
Damn, I remember being in grade 5, bro. I was actually the fastest kid in my
yeah,
school.
Yeah, but you probably had no hoes, bro. I already got a girlfriend, and she's bad as hell, bro. You should see the gat on that
shirt. Nah, what?
And I never thought I'd be saying this, but back in my day, grade 5, we were still running from cooties and shit, and is this motherfucker vaping? What the fuck? I feel like kids these days just skipped a part of childhood, you know? Like, they're fresh out of elementary school, chiefing some coconut watermelon ice. Like, bro, your lil ass should be watching Coca-Cola
melon twice. Chat, did that hit? Yeah? No.
Shut the fuck up, Grandpa. Okay.
It's because when I was born, everyone was given a good 10, 11 year grace period where you could be as cringy as you wanted. Like, you could make shitty YouTube videos. You could wear those smart ass t-shirts. You could even get away with saying shit like, man, your mama's so stupid. She brought a spoon to the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah? Well, yo mama's so fat, when she walked in front of the TV, I missed 3 episodes. Okay, but yo mama's so fat, she takes selfies in panoramic mode. Well, yo mama's so nasty, she got fired from a sperm bank for drinking on the job.
What's a sperm bank?
Shit, I don't even know.
And I feel bad for this new generation because they don't got no cringe grace period or anything, bro. They just pop straight out the womb like,
and it's a boy.
Yeah, I'm a dude, whatever. Now snip me up, bro. I can't have the hoes seeing my foreskin, dog.
And maybe I'm just jealous, but to me, it's wild that these kids are getting new ass phones in elementary and middle school. Because they'll never understand the absolute crucifixion I would get every single time I whipped out my phone, bro. Like, that shit was staying in my pocket unless it was 100% necessary. All right, class, everyone get your phones out for our end of year Kahoot. I honestly feel like the world would be a better place if we implemented a new law where if you saw a kid who had an iPhone number higher than their age, you had every right to respectfully and lawfully slap the shit out of them and give them a devious wedgie, bro. Like, you're 10 years old, what the fuck do you need 6 gigabytes of RAM for?
I need it because I like to play Fortnite on my phone.
Man, how about you eat 6 gigabytes of this shut up sandwich before I ram this fist up your ass.
Alright, chat, I know that one hit, bro. What do we think?
Stickman Police Department donated $1.
Wait, what?
Look behind you, chains.
Oh my. And it's the same with these kids' fits, bro. Like, whatever happened to wearing neon shirts and light up Skechers? Like, why am I seeing literal children walking around in Jordans, bro? Like, I didn't even know what Michael Jordans were until I was getting my shit cooked for walking around in some Michelle Gordons, bro. But I mean, that shit was necessary for my character development. And that's what's wrong with these kids, man. They're straight up skipping out on some of the most crucial moments of their lives. I feel like we could low-key do them a favor. Next time you see a kid walking around on the street thinking life is all sunshine and rainbows and shit, you could just give him a little character development and like maybe roast his cut or something, you know? Like, hey kid, you look like you cut your hair with a fucking pencil sharpener. You look like Peter Griffin if he never hit puberty. You look like...
Yo, we wait, giving what? Kids some character development?
Did he? Now, I don't know why I'm talking like I was born in the 1900s or something. Because for the homies who are around my age, we were low-key in the same boat as these kids, bro. They're growing up on some skibbity toilet brain rot. We had MLG brain rot. They're always scrolling TikTok. We had Vine. These motherfuckers are out here looking up to iShowSpeed, bro. We had fucking Jake Paul. So the moral of the story is, even if these kids nowadays are absolutely cooked, I was once cooked too, bro. So worst comes to worst, these kids will just end up like me.
Oh, fuck no, please. No.
My very first time getting a taste of that enchanted broccoli. It was a very special time in my life. In fact, it shaped me to become the stick man you see today. Now, if you've seen this video, you would know my very first time being baked was also my first time being drunk. Cause you see, what happened was I had ate some magic brownies and they didn't kick in for a while. So I came to the solid conclusion that, bro, these edibles ain't shit. So I chug some vodka and next thing I know, I'm fucking obliterated. And through me mixing these two substances for the very first time of trying each, I was unable to truly take in the full experience of being zooted. Cause I was fucking slumped.
So fast forward about a month after the edible incident, me and Bob were trying to see what being baked really felt like. Keep in mind, we were in grade 7 at this point, and at Stickman Middle School, you got +3 clout points if you ever smoked some grass. So naturally, we were fiending for some Mary Jane, and we had just the person to call. Yo, Billy. Hey, what's up? Me and Bob were trying to smoke some marijuana.
Shut up. The feds might have tapped my phone, bro. Chill.
Oh, shit. My bad. I meant we're trying to blow some pipes.
Hey, yo, pause. What the fuck?
We're trying to inhale Satan's spinach? I don't know.
I bet. I got some gas for you boys. Meet me at Stickman Park at 6 p.m. sharp.
Okay, bet.
And soon enough, it was 6 p.m. sharp, and we were posted at Stickman Park. The homie Billy pulls up fully equipped with the gas.
Yo, we gotta find somewhere discreet to do this.
Oh, let's do it in the trees over there.
Alright, that works.
So we walk into this little forest with a bench in it, and Billy whips out the pipe.
What the fuck is that?
It's a pipe. I took it from my sister's room.
Bro, are you sure you didn't accidentally take her dildo instead?
Shut up, bro. Lots of people smoke out of these bad boys.
I don't know. There's just something about the way that it's shaped.
Are we smoking or not?
Yeah, we're smoking.
And then Billy takes out a plastic bag with a thug ass.
Yo, take a whiff of this shit.
And at this point, I had never got a sniff of the za before. So when I did take a whiff...
Damn, that's some strong shit right there.
Hell yeah.
And I got it from the plug for 50% off.
Damn, bro, this is gonna get us high as hell.
So Billy packed the pipe and handed it to me. He whipped out the lighter and said, suck it.
Hey, yo, pause.
Oh my. Alright, inhale.
Oh, I got you.
And there it was, my very first hit of the Zaza. And I was coughing up a storm. And as Bob was taking his hit, I was sitting there like, am I high yet? Like, is this what it's supposed to feel like?
Nah, you gotta smoke some more to get baked.
So Billy packs some more into the pipe and hands it to me. I inhale. But still nothing. So me and Bob are looking at each other like,
bro, are we like, invincible or some shit?
I think so.
And Billy's like, no, you have to inhale and hold it in your lungs for as long as possible.
So I try it. I inhale, I held it, and then I was coughing up a storm again. We repeated these steps for like 20 minutes and still nothing.
Now, me and Bob didn't know shit when it came to the topic of devil's lettuce, so we were just taking Billy's word for everything.
Yo, don't worry, it'll hit you in like an hour.
So we walk back to Bob's crib, and sure enough, an hour goes by.
Yo, are you high yet?
Nah, I still feel normal. What about you?
Yeah, I'm chilling.
So we waited and waited all night, and nothing happened.
Now, a quick scientific analysis of the situation. What had happened was, Billy's plug saw that he was 13 and realized he could make a quick buck off him. So he had given him 50% off, however, he gave him straight stems. Now, if you're not sure what this means, let me break it down for you using, enchanted broccoli. Now, we all know that broccoli is a nutritious vegetable. However, a wide majority of the nutrients are packed directly in the broccoli crown, leaving the stem of the broccoli with very small amounts of nutrients in comparison to the top part. This means that eating the top part of the broccoli will indeed make you big and strong. However, the stem itself lacks the capacities to, quote unquote, make you big and strong, if you know what I'm saying. Remember, eat your broccoli. So essentially, me and Bob were smoking that doo-doo pack, smoking straight Reggie. So Bob and I felt as though we needed some redemption, and we knew just the perfect day to do it. April 20th, 420. So today was the day we would really know what being zooted felt like. So me, Billy, and Bob went over to our homie's house, cause we knew this homie in particular would have the facilities to celebrate April 20th. So we knock on his door, he lets us in, and the first thing this motherfucker says is,
so, are we smoking fat today or what?
Hey, yes, sir.
Alright, follow me. So we followed the homie into his mom's room. And when he opened her closet,
She was equipped with every kind of grass you could imagine. He snatched a few pre-rolls and we went to his backyard. He lit up the first J and passed it straight to me. And after all these years, it felt as though my entire life had led me up to this very moment. I took a hit and got my real first taste of that Mary Jane. So we passed around the J's for a bit and my eyes and mouth started to dry up. So I'm like, alright, I'm gonna go get some water really quick. And the moment I stand up, it all hits at once. I just remember everything going into slow motion, and it felt like I was watching myself in a movie. Almost like it was a third person perspective. So I head into the homie's bedroom and I lay down on his bed because I was really trying to comprehend what the fuck was going on. Cause my frame rates were dropping, my time perception was fucked, and I was hungry as shit. So when Billy, Bob, and the homie walk into the room with snacks, bro, I was a munch. And so for the rest of the night, the four of us just chilled out, ate some snacks, and enjoyed our very first time with that enchanted broccoli. Eating magic brownies. If you've ever ingested one of these exquisite delicacies, you would know there are some clear distinctions between eating magic brownies and puffing magic clouds. First off, magic brownies are some dangerous shit, but in like a sneaky ass way. Kinda like how if I knew nothing about raccoons and I saw one chilling on the road, I would be like, aw, that's a cute ass raccoon. I'm gonna go help it across the road and make sure it's safe. Hey, little guy.
Ah, fuck. God damn, fuck.
You see, that's dangerous. Which is exactly like when you see an innocent brownie chilling on the counter, waiting to be eaten. And you're like, shit, that brownie's been chilling there for a little bit too long. I'm gonna just clean it up, you know what I'm saying? And shit, the next thing you know, you're laying face down on the floor, four bags of Doritos deep, while watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. not that that happened to me or something, like, you know. Anyways, secondly, the brownies are made to catch you lacking. I mean, if you've tried edibles, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll have a good piece, like enough to get you baked, but that shit just doesn't hit. Bro, I really don't feel anything. You probably just didn't have enough. Alright then, let me have some more. Yeah, got you. They'll have you eating three brownies at a time, like, fuck, bro, I've eaten three goddamn brownies, and I don't feel shit. Like, do they even work? Yes, they do, bro. Look at Eric. That motherfucker only had half. What the fuck? He only had half a brownie? I've eaten three. Them things can even take up to a few hours to hit. They'll leave you with the good old, damn, bro, these edibles ain't shit. These bad boys will have you seeing rainbows. They'll have you lagging in real life. I mean, shit, if you have enough, they'll have you out here talking to Pop Smoke. And the thing is, the magic clouds will introduce themselves to you before they hit. But the fucking magic brownies be coming out of nowhere on some Randy Orton shit, leaving a motherfucker RKO'd out of nowhere. And I'm telling you, there's something about edibles that be changing your settings. Like, that bitch lowers your FPS, changes your render distance, and maxes out your sensitivity. I mean, one time I gobbled down a brownie, and when I touched a blanket, I felt every bristle, every microfiber, and every single atom in each microfiber. I mean, it was really a blessing and a curse. Because every time my shirt would wrinkle, I would take 1 HP. But at the same time, a bowl of ice cream had me busting, bro. Because magic is some powerful shit. Like one time a good friend of mine got fooled by the good old, these edibles ain't shit, let me pop some more. And when those edibles hit, they changed every setting this man had. Yo, Robert, you okay? How you doing, bro?
¿Quién es Roberto? ¿Quién verga eres tú? ¿Y quién eres tú? ¿Dónde estoy?
Hold up. Does Robert know Spanish?
No, bruh. That motherfucker only knows English.
Shit, Robert ended up legally changing his name to Javier. And that motherfucker moved to Barcelona. He just never came back. So like I said, those magic brownies are powerful. And you can do with them as you please. But remember, with great power comes great responsibility. There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
what now?
We could watch a scary movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like, Hey
guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part.
Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something. Treat me like white tea. So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hoes, bruh.
And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two man, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm sucking myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window.
Shit.
So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, it is open.
Bro, only this tiny-ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60-degree angle.
But that was our only way in, so I help Bob up and through the window.
But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through, and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room, and then I lean just a little too far, and I'm headed face-first onto Alice's hardwood floor.
And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window.
Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying?
But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hoes. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro.
But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real.
Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. For Real. I'm Alice.
And so we all just start talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages.
And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time.
So I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass.
In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit, like, what else was there to do?
But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back.
And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us.
Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep.
And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious.
And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, cause if it is,
we got bigger problems on our hands.
But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, cause I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce my dad or something? Like get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro.
And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved.
But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat.
And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson.
And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, cause he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude?
So I hit him back with a, who dis?
And he's like, Ryan Donaldson.
Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are.
I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch.
And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro.
And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna...
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween.
Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Whoa. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck. Trick-or-treat. Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating? No, but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block. Trick-or-treat. Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up, and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique. As well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw, and it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth, if earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house like...
Trick or treat.
Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain, because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies, like bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like...
Ah! 360, ooga booga booga!
We get back to Billy's crib. Holy shit, get in, get in!
Lock it, lock it, lock it!
And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
Man, you could be the 47th president of the United States and you'd still get flamed in school. It's just inevitable. It could be your haircut, your clothes, and bro, even when there's nothing to roast, somebody's gonna try and spit out some bullshit anyways.
Hey, yo, why does Carl's face look like Spider-Man's left nut?
Yo, that's so true.
Why do you know what his nuts look like?
And bro, when I was in middle school, all my clothes were hand-me-downs I got from my neighbor, and this motherfucker just didn't want to see me win, bro. Cause I was getting piles of V-neck shirts and jeans that didn't even fit. And not only did my neighbor have no drip, but dude was 10 years older than me, so every fit I made was just a decade too late. And pulling up to school and that shit had me feeling like a rotisserie chicken, the way I was getting cooked at a 360 degree angle, bruh. But my fit wasn't even the only thing that was outdated, cause my phone looked like the first phone ever created. And it acted like it too. I mean, I would have to click the screen 5 times and then send a prayer to the heavens just to turn that shit on. And only real G's know the pain of having to whip out an old ass phone around someone else. Like, I remember this one time a girl came up to me and asked if she could add me on Snapchat, and when I gave her my phone, my shit crashed, bro. I think your phone just ran out of battery.
Oh no, don't worry, sometimes you just gotta...
Yeah, here you go. Actually, I have a boyfriend, so...
Wait, what the fuck?
And ever since that day, that phone was my number one op, bro. So much so that the next time a girl came up and asked for my Snapchat, I started fucking malfunctioning, bro. Hey, can I get your Snapchat?
No.
Oh. Okay. No. It's just cause I don't have Snapchat.
Oh, well, what about your phone number?
I actually don't even have a phone.
You don't have a phone?
Oh, well, I did, but then my dog ate it. You know
what
I'm saying?
Oh my god, is your dog okay?
Sorry, I don't even have a dog. I don't have one.
Then, who ate your phone?
Fucking, I did.
Wait, was that?
Nope. Like, I do appreciate all the hand-me-downs, cause without them, I would be walking through the school butt-booty naked, but to be honest with you, if it was a choice, I would've rather been butt-booty naked, cause these V-necks were straight girl-repellent. Like, there's birth control, there's condoms, and then there's V-necks, bruh. Well, shit, I mean, you could still pull a lot while wearing a V-neck, but it's just like... It's just gonna be dudes! And just when you think I couldn't have been more roastable, my mom would be like, oh sweetie, you need a haircut.
No, please mom, no.
My mom used to take me to this shop that gave out $1 haircuts, bro, and these motherfuckers were straight speed running these cuts. They'd be asking what kind of cut you want while cutting your hair. And by the time you get to show them the cut you want, your shit is already done, bro. And my mom must have not been tipping them either, considering the fact that every time I went back, the cuts kept getting worse and worse. Until one time, I walked out there with my head bleeding, like I asked for a 2 on the sides, and she hit me with a -2. Now don't get me wrong, when I pulled up to school wearing the most abominable fit known to man with the atrocious haircut and shitter phone combo, I got my shit roasted, flamed, grilled, sauteed, deep fried, and then thrown into the goddamn microwave. Like the type of flaming that has you going home and just taking an extensive look in the mirror, questioning if you should legally change your name to Albert and flee the country. But somehow, this motherfucker Carl got flamed even harder than me just for being Carl. Like, whenever a friend group is created, there's just one dude selected to be the punching bag for the entire group. And you know, I feel bad and shit, but like...
it's better Carl than me, bro. So I'm gonna slip a few jabs in if I have to.
Yo, what the fuck is Carl eating, bro?
Oh, hell nah.
Wait, whoa, Chains is eating the exact same thing.
Nah, what? Your shit looks like it tastes like cardboard with honey mustard.
Wow, how did you know?
Like, Carl can't even get a little chuckle out without getting crucified, bruh.
Damn, he's fucking that shit up.
Looks like he hasn't eaten in weeks, bro.
Oh, hell nah, Carl. I know you're not laughing.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're built like SpongeBob Brown Pants. You look like a malnourished Santa Claus, bro. Like, god damn, that's a face only a mother can love. What did I do?
Now, getting roasted around your boys is tough, but that pales in comparison to the pain and embarrassment of getting roasted in front of your crush, bro.
Yo, Chains, what did you get on the science test?
I'm not gonna lie, I got like a 76.
I'm surprised you're not smarter with that big ass head of yours.
Good one, Joe.
No, like for real, your shit is massive.
Well, like the sheer amount of brain you could fit in that bitch should make you Einstein. You look like you should be pulling 10,000 IQ plays right now. You look like you got the solution to world hunger somewhere hidden in that big ass noggin. Like how do you even stand up straight with that absolute cranium for a head?
But I remember this one time I got my shit flamed so hard in front of an entire audience that I was brought to tears. But I was six. I was 6 years old. And the day was December 24th, Christmas Eve. So my mom brought me and my brother to this improv play, and as we sat and waited for the show to begin, this little elf walked up to us like, hey, do you guys want to be a part of the show?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, yeah, I'll do it. And once the show began, they called me and my brother up to the stage and asked us a very simple question.
So, what do you guys want for Christmas?
Oh, I want a Minecraft sword and a creeper stuffy.
And, what about you, little man?
And as I looked into that crowd with dead silence, my brain stopped braining, bro.
Hey, don't worry, it can be anything. Just kid, what do you want?
I wanna... I don't really know what I want.
Yo, who brought this fucking dumbass on stage, bro? Get the fuck out of here.
Now I'm paraphrasing. I was six. I don't remember exactly what he said, but that's what it felt like. And as we walked back to our seats, I was super embarrassed. But as the show started, it was actually pretty funny and people had probably forgot about it by now. But 10 minutes into the show, a character walks on stage with some goofy ass buck teeth.
Yo, this guy looks stupid as hell.
Oh shit.
And this dude proceeds to absolutely cook 6 year old me with no remorse.
Hey, what's your name?
I don't know.
What? Okay, how's your day?
Day? What the fuck is a day? I don't know.
Well, what do you know?
No. No, that's just it. I don't know. I just don't know. Shit, I don't think I know anything. And that shit had the whole audience laughing harder than ever. And as I looked around, my brother was laughing and even my mom was laughing. And it was this very moment that I had hit rock bottom. And at the age of six, I realized I would be put on this earth simply to suffer. And it made me cry, bro. I cried in the middle of this theater.
And the next morning I woke up and it was Christmas.
And under the Christmas tree I saw the best gift of all.
It was a Bob Pocket tee from ChainsClub.shop. That's right, it's brand new. You can wear it around your homies. You can wear it at school. You can wear it around your mom, your grandma, your great grandma, maybe not your great grandma, but damn near anywhere else, and Bob will be posted in your pocket the whole time.
Wow, what a perfect thing to get someone for Christmas, am I right?
Yeah, I'm right.
Man, smoking too much, greening out, ODing on the devil's lettuce, whatever you'd like to call it, many of us have been there at least once in our lifetime. And man, I'll be the first to say it is not fun. But I do actually have a funny story about my first time greening out. I mean, it's funny now, but when it happened, I was shitting myself. So this story dates way back when I was just a young jit. I was still in 8th grade. And man, don't ask me why, but it takes place on a Thursday, on a school night. Alright, so it's a Thursday at 7 p.m. My friends and I are just headed to this girl's house. We'll call her Mary. So when me and my friends arrive at Mary's house, I quickly find out her dad is pretty chill.
Yo, what's up?
And you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we'll just say Mary was no stranger smoking some gas now and then. With that being said, I kinda was. I had only smoked a few times, and the times that I had smoked, it wasn't anything crazy. So walking into the Mary household, I could kinda tell we were gonna smoke. So we all just went to her room and talked for about 5 minutes until all my friends started smoking. And it was out of some strangely shaped water bottle I had never seen before. And listen, bro, it was a Thursday on a school night, so I wasn't really planning on smoking, right? But when you're in middle school, peer pressure just hits differently, bro. So there my dumbass was on a Thursday night using this weirdly shaped water bottle for the first time, knowing that I had a curfew of 9 o'clock. And I just instantly started coughing. I was definitely the least experienced out of all my friends, so I remember my homies were kind of helping me out. Especially my homie Bob. Bob brought me some water and told me to let him know if it hits too hard. I told him, yeah, for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm chilling. Because it had already been a few minutes at this point, and it was safe to say I didn't feel anything. And after 10 minutes, I remember thinking, I bet I'm definitely good by now. I probably just didn't have enough to actually get me high. So shit, maybe I can make it back for my 9 o'clock curfew after all. That shit hit me like Mike Tyson in his prime, bro. I don't know why no one told me this new device would have me slumped like Nate Robinson. But it's already too late at this point. My vision started to get choppy. It's like I was running 30 frames per second in real life. And of course, the dry eye starts to kick in, and I just get really hot out of nowhere. And I guess at this point, Bob could just see the panic in my face. So Bob was like, come with me, and he brought me to the bathroom. And bro was prepared. He threw down a pillow and a blanket and was just like, you're gonna be alright, bro. And as he leaves me in the dark in the bathroom, I can hear from the other room, he's definitely greening out.
He's greening?
Nah, not Chains.
Nah, my boy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace? Bro, am I about to die right now?
But to be honest, my brain was way too fried to even care. The effects were getting worse by the minute. And as I laid there in the dark on Mary's bathroom floor, I felt my soul leave my body. I was just flying around space and, you know, traveling through the galaxy and shit. But I'm brought back to life because I felt my phone buzzing. And when I woke back up, I had no clue where I was. And then when I looked in the mirror, who the fuck is this guy? While I was out here putting the pieces together, trying to figure out who I am, Bob hits me with another, come with me. I got a ride so we can get you back home. But you have to act normal, okay? Okay, just get in the car. It was his older sister driving. And when I got in the car, I was stressing. Act cool, bro. Act cool.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not high.
Fuck.
She knows. And the rest of the ride was just pretty much silent. I got out of the car and I stumbled all the way over to the front door. At this point, I was praying my mom was asleep. So I called my brother to open the front door.
What's up?
Door. At this point, I'm malfunctioning. I'm trying to explain what is happening to my brother, and it pretty much just went like this. Bro, is mom awake? Bro, holy, you're gone, bruh. I'm sorry, but this is the only way. Huh? What the hell, bruh? I'm not gonna lie, the smack low-key woke me up a little bit. But still, I was way too big to be saved. But at least mom isn't awake.
Chains, get up here right now.
I'm fucked. The jig is up, bro. I slowly walk up the stairs to my inevitable doom. Still high off my ass, I walk into my mom's room and seal my fate. Yeah, bro, I got grounded for a year and a half. And when I woke up to go to school the next day, I was still baked as hell.
Getting baked is usually an exceptional experience that consists of eating food, laughing, questioning your entire existence, eating food, watching Netflix while eating more food. And you know, that's great and all, but every once in a while, that Zaza can take you to the deepest, darkest depths of the shadow realm. And trust me,
That shit is not fun. So I wake up on a sunny Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. You know, a respectable sleep-in. I hop in the shower. It was a good shower. I check the Clash of Clans base. I didn't even get raided. I eat some scrambled eggs and toast. Shit was scrumptious. And all of these things led me to believe, damn, today's gonna be a good ass day. But little did I know, today would be the day I would look death in the eyes and fight for my life. So I finish my scrambled eggs and I pull up the boys' group chat and I'm like, what's the move? And Bob's like, I don't know, let me check. So I'm like, okay, bet. There's no moves, bro. And because there was nothing to do, the boys and I would have no choice but to reside to the default move. Let's just smoke. Bet. Calm down. So the default move always takes place at the boys' home base. Bob's crib. Now Bob's crib was the spot to be baked for many valid reasons. First of all, bro's basement was simply comfy as fuck. Couches on lock, blankets always ready with infinite pillows. And Bob's dog Walter was the fucking goat. But most importantly, Bob's cupboard was always stacked. I mean, this cupboard has enough food to feed a village. This cupboard has more snacks than 7-Eleven. And this cupboard had enough calories to be in a Nikocado avocado video. And that shit was perfect. Because goddamn, when I get baked, I become a certified fat ass. So you know the drill. We roll up and got a joint in rotation. And honestly, I don't know what got into me this night because I was absolutely reefing that hoe. Yo, chill. God damn. Fuck it. Let's roll another one. So we rolled up another J and I just simply could not be stopped. And I specifically remember asking, how high can I really get? And after about 30 minutes of me going bananas on these joints, I found the answer to my question. Pretty fucking high. I mean, I was beyond zooted. Like at that point, time was literally in slow motion. And it was one of those highs when your senses become extra sensitive. So I was just posted up in a blankie while munching on some pizza pops. And I was truly invested in those pizza pops. I mean, in that moment, I thought I was the pizza pop, bro. But once I finished the pizza pops, we all decided it would be a good idea to go for a walk. However, the moment I stood up, I started feeling peculiar. But regardless, we went outside and at this point, it was already dark. Because in the time we were smoking at Bob's crib, the sunny Saturday turned into a very cloudy, dark, and cold Saturday night. So Billy and Bob are walking towards this creepy looking forest and I'm like, alright, I think I'm too high to go into this forest, bro. Nah, don't worry. I've been in this forest a million times. I know it like the back of my hand. Alright then. And as soon as we step into the forest, I start hearing shit, bro. Yo, did you hear that?
Hear what?
It sounds like someone's in the bushes.
Nah, you're just baked as shit.
So we continue walking for about 5 minutes and out of nowhere it starts pouring. And this was really the point where everything shifted because I was far too faded to be out in a dark, cold, rainy forest. So I'm like, alright, let's just go back to Bob's. Yeah, facts. I didn't know it was gonna be raining. But as we're walking back through the forest, I can undoubtedly hear something in the bushes. Okay, what the fuck was that?
Oh shit, run!
Aw, hell nah! Bob and Billy start hauling ass, and scared as hell, I slowly turn around to see a fucking demon coyote pack looking at me like I'm lunch, bro. And this had to be because of the second joint, but for a moment, I looked this coyote dead in the eyes, And I saw death. I saw death, bro. And in that moment, I gathered all the functioning brain cells I had left to just run. and I couldn't see where I was going. I was just hauling ass. And when I looked back, all I could see was the devious coyote eyeballs staring into my soul. And the next thing I knew, I stepped in a pothole and my trajectory completely changed from running away to eating shit, bro. And when I say falling felt like it was in slow motion, I mean, I had to have been falling for 5 minutes. But once my face made contact with the ground, this is how I went out. I was about to get packed up by a pack of coyotes. As they approached, I was saying my goodbyes. But out of nowhere, I hear something in the distance. This motherfucker Bob drop kicks a coyote in the face. And it had to have been that Zaza that made these coyotes look so devious, because after Bob socked that jit in the face, they weren't so scary. I mean, they all just ran away and dispersed. They had me like, yeah, and don't come back, bitch. So we walk back to Billy's crib and I'm still tweaking off those joints. I'm like checking behind me, checking beside me, checking the sky to make sure no evil crows pick me up and kidnap me. But we get back to Bob's crib and I sit down on the couch. And just as I finally felt relieved, I get jump scared by Walter. Bro pretty much gave me a heart attack. I thought the coyotes had invaded Bob's crib to come and kill me. But it was just good old Walter coming to chill with the boys. So I got some more pizza pops and we lived happily ever after.
Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with Axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50 foot radius. And shit, Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
hey, nah, where's your PE strip?
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, oh shit, I'ma just get my backpack and shit. So yeah, alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights, hopefully no fucking sword fights. And bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood, because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now? Or, bruh, I'm sure he didn't take anything. Just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest. Locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole, and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there, and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, that's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with all track.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo, why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck. Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck.
Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off, and he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for, completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half-naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally, in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in axe spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that axe spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and axe spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible.
Shut the fuck up.
And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time
and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association, which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy, because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms, so they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena, there is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can: a female.
Man, sometimes this world can be a little cold. It can get a little gray, but there is nothing that can bring more excitement and vibrance to your life than having a crush. I mean, it gives you something to wake up for, something to smile for, someone to impress, and someone to be absolutely crushed by, leaving you more depressed than ever before. Which is when you get a new crush. I mean, crushes make the world go around. Everyone's had a crush at some point in time, and sometimes that shit gets too serious. I mean, I've had homies prepared to throw away their entire lives just to impress their crush, bro. Oh my god, look at these big weights. I wonder if anyone's strong enough to lift these. Oh my god, look at this big jump. I wonder if anyone's athletic enough to make. Oh my god, look how creepy this cave is. I wonder if anyone's brave enough. Oh my god, look how tall this building is. I wonder if anyone could stick the landing. I said, I wonder if anyone could stick the land. Oh, ew, did he just die? Oh my god, I'm getting the ick.
Nope, just getting a few extra reps in.
Man, I remember my first crush like it was yesterday, bro. She was 5 years old. But I was 5 years old too, right? Like, so it wasn't actually yesterday, you know, it's a saying, but we were both 5 years old, and I remember sliding in smooth as hell.
Yo, shorty, you like Legos?
Yeah. How about you and me go Lego my ego?
What does that even mean?
Shit, I don't even know. I seen it in a commercial once. And after that day, me and Rose hung out all the time. We'd be playing Legos, we'd link up at recess, and I couldn't help but let her know how I truly felt.
Hey, Rose, I like you.
Oh, I like you too.
And that shit had me thinking, damn, this life shit is easy as hell. I'm barely 5 years old and I already got a wife to raise my kids.
Little did my dumbass know, life wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. Cause when I came to class the next day, I saw Rose playing Lego with another dude.
And that was the day I realized crushes cause nothing but pain.
Especially before high school, cause let's just think about the three possible outcomes. One, you have a crush on this girl and you decide to tell her, cause
what's the worst that could happen, man?
You guys are right. Stacy? Yeah, I have a crush on you. Or two, you never build up the courage to tell her and end up watching your crush sit in a tree with the faster kid who had the light up Skechers and the Charizard EX. And we all know what happens when Stacy and Jimmy are sitting in a tree. Or outcome three, you confess to your crush and it's the perfect scenario.
I like you too.
Now you've officially started your first middle school relationship, which is probably the worst outcome of all, bro. Cause now you've been sentenced to 14 days of relentless cringe and countless awkward scenarios. And I say 14 days because that shit's lasting 14 days max, bro.
Hey Stacy, do you want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, huh. Yeah, awesome. Huh.
Yeah,
awesome.
Woohoo.
do you want to hold hands or something?
Yeah, sure.
So, Stacy, I've been thinking. I don't think this whole thing's gonna work out.
Oh. Okay.
It's not me, it's you.
Oh. Wait, what?
Yo, fuck my ass.
Or what's even more tough than having a crush in middle school is having a crush on a fictional character, bruh. Cause it's like, you'll just be chilling, watching some Teen Titans eating cereal or whatever. All of a sudden your crush is kissing other dudes right in front of you and you can't even do shit about it.
I remember back in my day, I was down horrendous for Lola Bunny, bruh.
And I really don't know how I feel about admitting my attraction towards a 2D cartoon bunny, but you gotta remember, this was in the past. Like, this was at least 2 months ago. And maybe I'm tweaking on this one, but the red fish from Shark Tale, bruh,
she was different, bro. And her name, I think it was Lola as well. Shit, maybe I just like cartoon girls named Lola or something.
That's exactly what I want to hear.
And I don't know about you, but for some reason, whenever I would talk to my crush, it was like I got an instant nerf, bro. I'm talking minus 10 charisma, plus 15 stutter, minus 5 strength, and plus 350% chance of getting put in a random ass headlock. Like, I could be in the worst scenario of all time with a girl who has 5 kids and is married to a member of the cartel. And just cause she's not my type, I'll get an instant stat boost that'll have me pulling like Mr. Duke Dennis himself. But put me in a room with my crush and all of a sudden I got the same charisma as fucking McLovin.
Hi.
Hey, it's 10:33.
What?
AM, like in the morning. Like I'm saying, it's 10:33 in the morning. Fuck. And on top of your crush turning you into McLovin, it also leaves you open to the inevitable pain of being embarrassed in front of your crush. And man, let me tell you, there is nothing quite like it. It was a beautiful sunny day, and I was in grade 2 wearing my favorite bright blue basketball shorts in math class, gazing out the window at those shiny old monkey bars, excited for recess. And when the bell rang, I hauled my little ass over to those bars, and I was swinging like there was no tomorrow. And before I knew it, the whole class was on these monkey bars, which quickly turned into chicken fights, and I wasn't complaining. I mean, hanging from a bar and kicking the living shit out of some toddlers? Sign me up, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in line watching these grade 2 gladiator battles go down until it was my turn, and when I step up to those bars, I look into the crowd and see my crush of 2 weeks, Lexi. And now that Lexi was watching, there was no chance I was about to lose this fight in front of her. But as I look over to see who my opponent is, I realize it's Axel. And Axel was known for being the undisputed chicken fight champion. Legend had it, he once took on 3 dudes at once, pause. So I knew going into this, I had to lock the fuck in, bro. So we climb over to each other and he's kicking my shit in off rip until I hit his ass with my specialty move, the Python squeeze. And in 10 seconds flat, let's just say I folded that